A previously unrecognized genetic mutation causing a rare and devastating pediatric neurological disease, which has puzzled doctors around the world for years, was recently identified by Hadassah Medical Organization researchers in Israel. Today, we're speaking with Professor Orly Elpeleg on her life as a gene detective on this episode of Hadassah On Call.
This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine. In each episode, we go behind the headlines with the Hadassah Medical Organization and look at the work changing what's possible, helping you understand the medical breakthroughs impacting our lives. From neurological malfunction to sexual dysfunction, from striving for peace through medicine to operating room robots. This is Hadassah On Call. Here's Melanie Cole.
My guest today is Professor Orly Elpeleg. She's a professor of pediatrics, head of the Department of Genetics at Hadassah Medical Organization in Jerusalem, Israel. Welcome to the show, Professor. Are you really a gene detective? Tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get into this fascinating specialty?
Hi, thanks for having me. Well, in fact, I'm a pediatrician that got frustrated by not knowing what's wrong with some of our patients. And that has been a lifelong agenda for me. Whenever others were treating infectious diseases, I was attracted to patients that no one knew what's wrong with them, kids that were either born with some abnormalities or developed them in the early years of their childhood. And so at first we were trying to use biochemical tools, and recently we started using genetic tools to decipher, to solve this enigma. I'm not sure I can explain any further this urge that would keep you awake throughout the night to try and read a patient's DNA in order to see where is the mistake, where is the error, who is the murderer, who's the one that kills this child's health.
Wow. So as these things kept you up at night, you went into this specialty. How did you discover this rare gene? Tell us about this disease that has no name that we're discussing today.
So it always starts with a single patient that comes into the clinic, and the parents are telling me that they've been all over the place and no one could tell them what's wrong and the child is deteriorating. So this is nearly always the beginning. And recently we are able, thanks to really advanced technology, to read the patient DNA, at least the coding parts, the exons. We are able to read it routinely. We've done so since 2010. And I think we were one of the first centers in the world to employ this technology. And so we are reading it like a book, trying to find where is the mistake. And we've done that to the first girl that we saw here in Israel. And this was a child that was completely normal up to the age of 3. And then she started regressing. So she has lost gradually her ambulation. She could not walk. She could not draw and use the pencil as before. She lost her self-care skills that she had and needed help throughout all her daily activities. She had experienced feeding difficulties. And so, and she lost her speech, which was most devastating for the family, and became very unstable while walking and eventually stopped walking. So this is like seeing a child losing milestones instead of acquiring them. And it's really very tragic. It's a very sad disease. And we have identified in this girl a change in the DNA that we haven't seen before, and neither did we find it in any large databases of healthy individuals at their DNA. And so there is a software nowadays which is called Gene Matcher, which is like the person who makes the shidduch, you know. So, but it tries to find a match among other centers that may have the same genetic variant. So we have mounted our variant, our patient variant, into it, and within a few minutes we had, I think, 5 or 6 more patients that were diagnosed with the same variant worldwide, in Canada, in France, in the States, in 2 centers. And all of them experienced the same clinical course with a completely normal period, which lasted up to 3 to 4 years, sometimes even up to 7, and then invariably all the patients regressed. And so we had a single genetic mistake causing or associated with the same clinical course in altogether 7 patients. And then we were trying to understand what went wrong, why this change is causing the disease. And we collaborated with a group in Philadelphia, and they had a lab which could actually model the same change. And they have checked our patient cells and identified that there is a problem with the ribosome, this part of the cells which translate the DNA, the RNA, into protein. And so by that, we decided to publish it, because we felt that there may be more patients out there that are not part of the Gene Matcher program and would still would be important for them to know that this is the disease and this is the genetic defect. And indeed, nearly, I think, every month we hear about another patient in the world that has the same variant and with the same course. Now, in all the cases, this is not inherited. I mean, all the parents do not have this variant. So it occurs de novo. It occurs new, only in the patient. So for the families, it's in a way a good message that they can have more children without having to be worried about recurrence. For the patients, it's important that we have identified this change, because now it opens perhaps the way for designing a therapy, of course, for the long run.
So that would have been my next question, as there are other researchers and doctors around the world collaborating with you as they come up with patients with this similar variant. First of all, will you be giving this a name? And do you think that this discovery is going to enhance treatment options?
Well, I know that the NIH has already supported a research project on this gene without even knowing that there are so many patients out there. So that was a wonderful thing to learn, that the NIH already recognized that there is an issue with this gene. I believe that the solution for these patients may come from suppressing the mutated allele. So you see, all these patients, they have one normal gene and one abnormal mutant gene. And the trouble is the mutant. So if you can suppress the mutant and leave the patient on 50% of the normal gene, it would be sufficient for health, for normal life span and normal life progress. And you don't actually need to correct. You can simply suppress. The question is whether it would help doing it at this late stage, because all the patients are in their teens or even later, older. But basically, yes, they should be able to help these patients. And the fact that this is now a group, I think, is very helpful, because you are not dealing here with a single case, but this is a serious issue. These are multiple cases.
So, Professor, when other doctors from around the world call you for advice on suppressing this gene or dealing with treatment options, what do you tell them? And then give us a little, you know, what are you doing in the future? What are you doing on the horizon for this and other unnamed diseases?
Well, myself, I'm a very small part of this huge arena I think that my part is to name the defect. It would be people that are dealing with gene therapy, with genome editing, people that are able to really manipulate the human DNA that would come into the play and try and help. Basically, it's not something that is done at my lab. We limit ourselves to the identification of the genetic defect. I think of myself as a very humble doctor that annotates the human DNA to tell people what's wrong. And you know that in 2003, when the Human Genome Project was first announced, it was clear that for about 50% of the genes, we have no idea what they're doing. So my patients are, in a way, telling the world, telling science, what's the importance of any certain gene. It would be then for others that are specializing in genome editing, in gene therapy, to come up with solutions. But as I said, generating a group of patients and defining them, I think it's a great help.
Well, it certainly is. And where do you see the world of genetics going in the future? What do you see happening? What are you doing that's really exciting right now?
Well, I think that our mission right now is to move from reading only the coding parts of the DNA to reading the entire DNA. It's about reading 50 times more volume of genetic material than we did before for every patient. And that's our next goal, saying to move from exome to genome. And we shall try and settle there. I believe that for every patient, this would be the standard of care in the near future. And even for even prenatally, so that during pregnancy there would be, or even in for people that are undergoing in vitro fertilization, it would be a standard of care to read the entire DNA before continuing. And we shall probably stop at this point because others that, as I said, are specializing in genome editing, in gene therapy, they would take over and try and correct the defects. But they would need us to first link the clinical findings with the patient DNA finding and then to corroborate, to validate the finding and giving it to them with its proper name.
Thank you so much, Dr. Alpaleg, for being on with us today. It's absolutely fascinating work that you're doing. This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine, brought to you by Hadassah, the Women's Zionist Organization of America. The largest Jewish women's organization in America, Hadassah enhances the health of people worldwide through medical education, care, and research innovations at the Hadassah Medical Organization. For more information on the latest advances in medicine, please visit Hadassah.org. And to hear more episodes in this podcast series, please visit Hadassah.org/podcasts. That's Hadassah.org/podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.